it's hard to believe that it was just around this time a year ago that we started hearing about the dreaded practice of social distancing. I myself had never used that term before, and yet now it seems a daily affair that we have to remind ourselves, oop, I'm getting too close, and I need to keep my distance. Well, it's new to us, but it certainly isn't new to the people of Jesus' time. They knew quite a few things about social distancing because they practiced it every day. They were very, very concerned with keeping their distance from anybody who might render them unclean. That is why from the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the rabbis were able to pull out the 613 laws of ritual purity that dealt with how to keep yourself clean by making sure everything around you was clean and that you only associated with the right people, because many of them, well, they're not so clean either. And here in the first reading today, we hear chapter 13 in the book of Leviticus telling people what to do if they came into the presence of someone afflicted with leprosy, what we call today Hansen's disease. It was thought to be highly contagious, but it was also thought by others to be a curse from God. All the more reason to keep your social distance from anybody who was even thought to be a leper. And you didn't necessarily even have to have a medical diagnosis. If it just appeared that you might be a leper, your life was about to change, and not for the better. Notice that Leviticus said you don't go to the doctor for the diagnosis. You go and see the priests. Perhaps God, in entrusting those priests with that task, thought, well, perhaps at least they'll be shown some mercy and some care if this happens to them. But rather, it was the case that these priests, with no medical training whatsoever, they were just randomly assigning some people as lepers and letting other people off the hook. And you better be careful, because here all it says is if you have some sort of scab, a blotch, or a pustule, that might be enough to get you classified as a leper. Don't get on the wrong side of the priest. That's always good advice. But 2,000 years ago, it was good advice because, let's say that priest had something against you. Let's say he heard you making some sort of remark about his wife and he didn't like it and he didn't like you. Well, he'd have his opportunity to get back at you if all of a sudden you got a bad flare-up of acne, or if you had some eczema or some psoriasis. That priest could easily say, you're a leper, you're out, you're canceled. You would never get your life back. You had to leave your family, your home, your work, your community, and you could only associate with other lepers in the fringes of society. For all intents and purposes, you'd be the walking dead. In many ways, you'd be better off dead, because you'd be hardly living the rest of the time of your life, whether you were a leper or not. And once you had that stigma attached to you, it's not like you could have the label removed. Because once it was known that you were said to have been a leper, whether you were or not, you could never come back. Because even if you had no visible scarring on your body, they'd say, well, you are with the lepers, so even though I can't see it, I think you've got it, and I'm going to stay away from you. They'd be socially distant for the remainder of their life, and many of them just prayed for death and waited to die. Jesus, he had a special love for anybody who was forgotten by everybody else, for the people in this world who are marked out as being unlovable, untouchable, unclean. They could sing the chorus of what a friend we have in Jesus, because those are the very ones that he came to save, to lead out of the shadows back into the light, to lead out of the fringes back into the human family. Yes, he was a prince, but he lived like a pauper. And even though he was a king, he could care less about associating with the worldly, the wealthy, and the wise. He came for the last, the lowest, the least, the leper, and the lame. It was the most wounded and wandering lambs that our good shepherd would leave the 99 to go to the ends of the earth to search for and to bring back to the flock and to let them know the power of human touch and the love and mercy of God in the person of Christ. And that is why in the gospel today, Jesus breaks all the rules. He knows those 613 laws of ritual purity. He knows by being in the air breathed by that leper, he'll be marked as unclean. By touching the leper, he'll be marked as unclean. By talking to the leper, he'll be marked as unclean. And that is why, notice what the leper said to him, if you will it, you can make me clean. Leprosy wasn't about dirt. It was a disease. But even he is using the lingo because he knows he has been labeled. Labeled by the Pharisees, labeled by the Jewish biblical law. I am unclean. Jesus, make me clean. And he does will it. And that man gets his life back. That's why he can't keep it to himself. Even though Jesus said, don't tell anybody a thing. I've got enough people following me already. He has to go off and he tells everybody because he feels as if he has been risen from the dead. He's going to have a chance to see his wife again, to live his life again, and to work with his hands so he can have his dignity back. Yes, the church is the loving arm of Jesus, reaching out to lepers, and it has been for 20 centuries and will be until the end of time when Christ comes again. And we have so many saints who, by their charity, have exemplified this love for the lepers. St. Teresa of Calcutta, a primary example. But a lesser-known one, perhaps, is the one that's on the stairs when you enter the church by the elevator. We're surrounded by those beautiful stained-glass windows that have saints and blesseds who made such an impact on our Catholic experience in America. And one of them, on the landing of the stairs, is St. Damien, the leper priest of Molokai. He was born in Belgium in 1840. And as a young man, Damien discerned not only a call to be a priest, but to be a missionary priest, to go to the ends of the earth to announce the gospel of the Lord. And in the early 1860s, when he was in his young 20s, he received his first missionary assignment. And boy, did Father Damien have it rough. His religious superior expected him to get on a boat and sail halfway across the world to experience all the hardships that would be involved in preaching the gospel in Honolulu. On a day like today, we'd all like that mission. He arrived there in 1866, and for several years, he felt he was wasting his time. He celebrated Mass in wealthy churches. He was educating the children of wealthy parents. He said, I could have stayed in Belgium and done this. Yes, the climate here is better, but this isn't missionary work. He felt that way until 1873. In 1873, Father Damien had a meeting with the bishop of Honolulu. He said, Damien, I need you. No one else will go. I need you to go to the leper colony at Kalaupapa on the island of Molokai and be their chaplain. Why would no one else go? Because it was a one-way ticket to hell. If you accepted the charge to go to Kalaupapa, you'd never be allowed to come back again. Because even if you didn't die of leprosy, once again, because of the stigma, everybody would think you have it anyway. They had been trying for some time to get anyone to go. Everyone said no. Father Damien said yes, because he believed that finally he was going to be able to be a missionary and answer the call that he accepted when he was ordained a priest. He went to Kalaupapa on the island of Molokai in 1873, and there were 816 lepers waiting for him on the shore. And as horrified as one might have been by their disfiguring disease, the appearance of their body, he was more horrified by the conditions in which they lived. It is often thought the leprosy is a result of overpopulation having no sanitation or hygiene. And yet, the Kingdom of Hawaii, it wasn't a state at that time, the Kingdom of Hawaii abandoned those lepers there with no sanitation and no hygiene in that hot, humid climate to allow this disease to continue to fester and attack all human flesh in its midst. But what's interesting to note is that instead of being thankful that a missionary had finally come to Kalaupapa, the lepers looked upon him with disdain and distrust. They had seen many missionaries come and go since the founding of that colony in 1866, and it was still in operation in 1969. But they never saw a missionary get out of the boat. They'd come close, they tried to do it, they thought they could do it, but then they said, I love my life too much. I'm just not going to risk it. And they sailed back in the other direction. But Damien was different. Father Damien, in 1873, he got out of the boat and he set foot on the shore. You would have thought that alone would win him some friends. But no, for years, Father Damien would be the outcast of the lepers at Kalaupapa. Why? Because he wasn't a leper. It's not easy being different than everybody else. But when all the ones who are different come together, if you're normal, you're the odd man out. Father Damien decided he would try to win their hearts and minds by bringing them what they never had, order to chaos. a chapel to pray in, proper coffins in which to bury their dead, homes to live in, beds to sleep in, things they'd never had since they were left there to die. And over the years, Father Damien did, little by little, begin to win their trust, but they still felt there was a big gap separating them from him because he was normal and they were not. That all changed in 1844. Father Damien was then in the 44th year of his life. He was going to make some soup in his little ramshackle kitchen, and all of a sudden, while he was distracted, he turned around and noticed his hand sitting in the bottom of a pot of scalding water. I say notice because he had no idea. We would have screamed. He felt nothing because he had leprosy. And that's when finally all of the lepers at Kalaupapa accepted him, because he was no longer different from them. He had become one of them. And rather than feeling that he'd received a death sentence, rather than feeling sorry for himself or sorry for them, instead, in that short period of time while his hand was still able to hold a pen and to write, he wrote to his brother back in Belgium and said, "I have become a leper to the lepers that I might lead all to Jesus Christ." Sounds just like what St. Paul said in the second reading today. Do everything for the glory of God, not for your benefit, but for theirs. Damien would only live 5 more years. He died in 1889 at the age of 49. But the last 5 years he spent Kalaupapa were very different than the first 11. Because in the first 11 years, he was nursing their wounds. He was working on their behalf. For the last years of his life, they were doing it for him. Just like Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. What I've done for you, I've done as an example. Now you go and do likewise. And when he died, out of respect for his mother, the lepers parted with his body. They shipped him home for burial in Belgium. Just one thing, they kept his heart. They kept his heart with them at Kalaupapa because they believed it always belonged to them. This is why we surround ourselves with stained glass and statues, not for idolatry, but for inspiration. To find other people that heard the same gospel we listened to week after week, who decided that they were willing to get a callus for Christ. They were willing to get some dirt under the nail and roll up their sleeves to love someone to the end and beyond. And so Father Damien volunteered for a one-way ticket to hell that he might lead lepers to paradise. And people like him, who grew up in circumstances that were very much like ours, show us how ordinary, everyday people, sinners like us, are becoming the saints in God's Hall of Fame. And that same opportunity exists for all of us.